everybody. Happy New Year, mate. Next to me, I have got the gorgeous Ann James, based over in Tasmania, our latest hot off the press published author of her book, Seasons of My Life. You can see it there in the banner. Show us the room. That's next to you. Yeah, there it is. You've got your physical copy there. And apparently you also have the book launch coming up this Saturday, right?
Yep, 12 o'clock on Saturday here at home.
Oh, amazing, amazing. Well, I know that Wendy, who works for us, is your sister, and she'll be coming to support you in that. So I'm super excited to be interviewing you this morning. Actual introduction of who Anne is. So I'm going to share the cover of her book while I read through the introduction, and here it is. Anne James is the author of Seasons of My Life. Is a legacy for her future generations and a story of reflection for her readers. She discovered her inner storyteller as she wrote her book and realized she wanted to do more. With over 5 years of nurse, working across various disciplines, she ultimately moved to general practice nursing. She pioneered and oversaw nurse-led clinics focused on managing chronic health conditions. She diligently upskilled her professional development courses, and she had the privilege to present at a Lung Foundation training day for nurses, specifically focusing on COPD management. Her unwavering passion now lies in helping individuals comprehend health diagnosis on their lives, guiding them to overcome obstacles, achieve realistic, tangible goals, and be the VIP of their health journey. Awesome! Amazing, Anne. So congratulations.
Thank you.
First of all, a fantastic goal to smash out. And so I want to know the history of all of this. When did it start? When did little inkling feelings come to you that you wanted to write a book?
It actually consciously started with a conversation that I had with my sister, Wendy. We were just general chit-chatting backwards and forwards, and then I was talking about the garden and how I developed an absolute love and passion for gardening, for growing, for being in nature, for growing organically. And she, very tongue-in-cheek, said, "You should write a book." I went, yeah, whatever. A few hours later, I text messaged her and said, "Bugger you, I'm going to do it." And I actually started that evening, morphed overnight, because I actually thought I was going to be writing about gardening, but it morphed overnight to a memoir, because I wanted to honour a pledge that I'd made to my mother. And that's where it started. And I started writing the very next day, did the seminar with you guys on the 12th, and onboarded the same day.
Yeah, you did. I remember that. I remember I was in Florida that day of the seminar, and you had a chat to Ricky, one of our team members. And since then I've seen you grow so much. So that was April, and we're now end of October. Literally 6 months, right? Had you written anything before you decided to do it?
Nope. Not since I was a teenager, not since I was in school. Clinical writing, yes, every day of my working life, but that's a totally different style of writing. So, yes, I'd written every day, but very clinically. But I was a prolific reader, and my mum was a writer, and I used to proofread all of her writing all the time as well.
Yeah, amazing. Wendy's watching live, and Dora. So good morning, guys, those of you that are on live. Please write down live or replay if you're watching this, after the fact. And if you're watching it through a different platform, just stay tuned and keep having a listen of what. So tell us now, what's the book, Seasons of My Life? Obviously, it is a memoir. So why, what's it about? Tell us a little bit more what the reader would get from
it. It is my story set against the four seasons. So I denoted spring as between birth and 20, summer as 2040, autumn 40, 60, and winter 60-ish onwards. And of course, I'm now in the winter of my life, which I think is probably the most joyful of all. Not that they haven't all been joyful, but it's the most joyful of all. I wanted to talk about home, family, values, growing up in a village, and then how through various defining moments through those seasons, I used the values that were taught to me and I lived by to go through the challenges and the changes, the celebrations, the losses, and talking about my inner self-reliance and resilience through all of that. So that's how I premised it. And it is a story, as I said, a pledge, a legacy for my family, my future generations, and also a story that other readers can reflect on their own lives.
Yeah, I love how you've set it up against the seasons, and, you know, because we have multiple different seasons, sometimes even in a year, right? But you know, it's very interesting how different stages of your life, and every season has its beauty of how we see it. That's beautiful. And that's where you talk about it's never too late to explore or rediscover passions. And this is kind of, you know, something that you really, what did they say? What's that saying? You took to it like duck to water. Is that the saying?
Like a duck takes to water. I've been on a huge and continue to go on a huge learning curve. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. And I remember the early month or two, it was just like, I just want to write this book. And now, and the last 3 or 4 months is you've been on every support call and you have really developed your speaker bio. Like, there's some of the intentions. What are some of the intentions, I guess, now that, you know, this new passion has evolved?
So I've further developed my speaker bio since then, as I've really honed in on what I want to talk about, and also developing an online program. So my passion is that I do want to help other people, so to be the VIP and thrive beyond the challenges of chronic disease, chronic illness. It's a difference as to how you perceive it. Chronic disease is the biomedical side of it, or the clinical side of it. Chronic illness is how the person feels, particularly at their worst through those. So helping them through the things that I've lived through myself, because I live with chronic conditions. And there's another one in the making as well, yay me. But it's how I went through the emotions. So I sat on the other side of the desk, so to speak, and the emotions, gaining the knowledge, finding that your needs matter, which is my mantra, that your voice matters, so to speak up and to engage, and then to realize that you are actually the VIP. And that saying comes from when I was working, where I had one client in particular, and the doctors were in despair over this particular client, and this client was in despair as well and distress, and she was all about ready to give up. She was saying, I won't, I can't, it's too hard. And I sat her down and I said, but you've come to every one of these. And she would come along every 3 months, so we'd built up this rapport over 3 years. And I said to her, you know that this is for you, this is about you, and that you're actually the VIP. And I saw this light bulb come on, and I realized that what I had to offer was more than beyond the clinical side of it. So that's how we and that's how I always worked anyway. That's how I always approached everything, both in home, work and life. So that's where it came from. And
amazing.
I want to do, because it's all sitting here. And it's been sitting here, and it's when I wrote the chapter on my own health journey that I really, that's when that light bulb moment came on for me.
Yeah, I love them, because so many of us also don't think of ourselves as VIPs, and we are, you know, and especially when there's a health condition where you're feeling down about yourself and all that kind of stuff. So I love the branding of it. Obviously, it's very sexy, you know. And when you say "love the VIP of your life" meme to it, you to a T, sis, she says.
It is me. Yeah, she's quite right.
Yeah. That chapter is written with great attitude and humor. I love it. So talk to me about the significance of storytelling. Why was it important to you, and what would you recommend to other people?
Well, so the significance of story, there's a storyteller within all of us. I've always believed that, but it really came to the fore as I was writing this book, and as we were going to all the calls and talking to people, and then listening to other writers as well. There's another thing that I watch or do lessons through. It's called Masterclass. So the likes of Margaret Atwood and Dan Brown and James Patterson, and that there are We all have narratives or stories that we carry in our head, and they're like little treasure chests. They're portals to our emotions. And when we recount those stories in whatever format, be it writing a book, writing a novel, doing poetry, setting it to music, on the stage, speaking, dancing, when we ignite emotions in our audience, that's a powerful moment, and our stories can lead to some remarkable changes and outcomes. So that's why it can transport us to different worlds, immerse us in different cultures, lets us walk in someone else's shoes, and can forge a connection with someone we may never meet. And I believe that the magic lies in the resonance your story has with your audience, and suddenly they can recognize themselves. So that's what I believe stories. I believe
in true stories, right? You know, there's so many metaphors, like you've used the metaphor of the seasons, you know, to tell your stories that you want to share about your own life. And I think it's very reflective as well. Was it cathartic for you? And
absolutely, it was cathartic, as you said. I thought I had done all my healing, but I healed some more as I wrote, and I would just sit and I would just write. I didn't worry about how many mistakes I made on the page, what the grammar was like. I just dumped, and then I just would go back. But some of those were very, particularly when I did the chapters, I knew I had a three very, very sad chapters to write. The first was in regards to my father. The second was in regards to my mum. Beautiful moments, wonderful people, loved them to pieces, but both are sadly passed. And then when I was doing the chapter on our grandchildren, one of our grandchildren was stillborn. So that was very emotional as well. So when I started to write, I did Dad's story first, because that was the first one to turn up in the book. Got up, I reckon I paced for about half an hour, and then I realised I just had to get down and do the other two. So I wrote all three chapters in one day. But I got the impact. Yeah, and there was very little edit. I'd already done Mum's. Mum's was the narrative that we did for her eulogy. I actually wrote her story as a narrator and speaking as Mum's. So that was done. Yeah, and I just added to it. So, yeah, so, and that healing, and then the healing around going through the divorce, finding love again with my darling Ian, and becoming stepmother to his three youngest children, who are the children of my autumn, and then going through my own health journey. So very healing in writing all of those.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. I mean, we've seen so many authors who do write about quite traumatic things, or things like, you know, that losses, and you know, and it's, that's where people can get stuck. But interesting strategy that you decided, I'm going to just do it all at once. And you probably didn't go through it a lot. You can get let the editor go through and tidy it up and all that sort of stuff.
And when it came to that time with my copy editor, it was the only thing that she got me to focus on was to read it through the reader's eyes, not my eyes. So just to explain a few little backstories to it, so that they kind of got the gist of where I was, what it was about. But it was very much that journey. And yes, sad, but they are also very joyful and very healing as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think pain and pleasure are intertwined, and, you know, there's always things that happen for us, not to us, and we learn from it. And you know, it's the cycle of life as well, isn't it? Good morning to Janine, and people are sending you love hearts here. And so let's move into, like, you talk about inner resilience, and you know, we talked about, brought up the VIP of your health journey. So you have lived experience. You haven't just been the nurse who's supporting others through their chronic conditions. You are the person that lives with this. So what is it that you tap into? Give us, maybe is this some of your content that's going to be in your next book? Is the next book actually going to be around
the next book is around, it is, yep, it is. So it is around being the VIP. So you are the VIP, and how you can thrive despite the challenges. And everyone who is diagnosed with a chronic health condition / chronic disease, and there's a myriad of them, can thrive and can live a normal life. Because a lot of people, when they're particularly with some of those that are potentially life limiting or life threatening, which is extremely scary, they can just want to give up. And you go through the whole guilt thing, the whole grief thing, the it's too hard, it's how do I do this? I don't understand. So, what should I do next? How do I tell my family? Do I should I speak to my work? What support is out there for me? Now, a lot of people find some of it. A lot of people really struggle and really struggle to connect. So it's about acknowledging those emotions, communication, getting knowledge, open communication, joining the support groups. What do I do when I travel? Relationships and intimacy. So it's around all of that side of it because I have lived through all of that and I continue to live through that. But I draw on my own self-love, self-care, self-worth, self-reliance, and resilience. But I also acknowledged that I needed support and I needed to speak up and let other people know because to look at me, apart from the fact that me being a big girl, you wouldn't know. Or if you saw me walking around with a walking stick, you might think I'd broken my hip or had a hip surgery. But it's not. It's because I get the wobbles up and I tend to fall over if I don't have it. So, yeah, all of
Amazing.
that
So
part of it.
those tools will be so helpful for someone who's just embarking on or maybe diagnosed with a chronic condition, to lessen their suffering, maybe to help them set up their life so that they can be supported earlier on rather than learning through trial and error, right?
It's the biggest health, what's the word I want to use? It's the biggest health burden that we have as a human race. Here in Australia, one in two have a chronic health condition. Globally, it's approximately 33% of the world's population. And of course, we don't know where how true that is because there are many countries where they're unable to gather the true figures. And it differs. It is a global concern, and it is a huge burden. And if we can lessen that burden on ourselves and also on the health system, there's a lot more that can be done there too. But I'm not going to get into that. I'm not interested in the politics. I'm interested in helping the individual and all the families of individuals.
Do people go undiagnosed with do they live with a health condition, chronic health condition with that?
Men more than women. Men are less likely to go to the doctor. So a lot of people do. Now the three biggest ones are diabetes, heart disease, arthritis, and COPD. It's just because I'm getting older or I'm too scared to find out what may be wrong with me because it might change what happens. For me, ultimately happened is I had to make the decision to retire from working life because of the fatigue and the brain fog. But doesn't stop you being you. And in fact, I truly found myself after I did that, even more. And it's about, and I continue. I had a friend who just recently read my book and she sent me a little note saying she loved the fact that I'd shared my life and was really disappointed when it ended because she wanted to know more. So I went back to her and I went, aha, but the journey is still going on and has really only just begun. So it's having that mindset and that attitude as well.
I think that also people, like if you write when you write this next book, will help people identify maybe something's going on, but they can't put their finger on it, and that you can help bring more awareness and support to those people.
So I'll be talking general symptoms that you can have with chronic disease. I won't be talking clinical. It will not replace medical advice. It'll always, because that connection is always have an open communication with your healthcare team. I will not do that ethically, morally. It's not the right thing to do.
Yeah, because you're right. I can see and observe that men tend not to be as proactive towards their health, or they just soldier on, as they say.
I have many little gems of stories of blokes that have, when I was working, that would appear to the front counter, and I would happen to be out there or be called out there, and I would take one look at them. I go, with me, get them sorted out.
Haven't you spoken? Love it. Dora's saying she's loved your book. Staying true to oneself is so important, and I live by this too. And I think you guys are like soul sisters. I think you definitely need to meet Dora in real life. I love it. Awesome. So how was the process of going through? I mean, how long did it take the writing? Like, you know how you said you had not written anything when you committed to joining us? Mm. How long did it take 0 to 40,000, however many words it ended up being?
30-something thousand. I can't remember. It's around about the 35,000 mark. So from writing to sending the manuscript in, so I started writing on the 9th of April. I'd set a date of the 31st of August to have it in, but it was in the end of June. So we then just went through the editing process, then layout and what have you, and working with Nick in the background. So very, very smooth process. And I found it easy. And the support was second to none from you, Stu, Viv, Julie, Nick, Wendy, yes, but we didn't use Wendy as part of the business. She was my sister, and so it was sister, and she was also one of my beta readers. So we kept that separate, and we did that intentionally. And the resources and the value, and I've learnt just so much from you guys, so thank you very much. And that process, I would say to anyone who is writing their book, whether they're doing it through the full retreat or they are publishing only, I guess intellectually I knew how to do all the other side of it. I got the structure with Stu, which was amazing, and that really honed in, particularly on changing the name of my book. It was originally going to be called Garden of My Life, which was not what it was about at all. So this is what we came up with. But it was so, and anyone who's doing it, tap into every ounce of the support and the resources that are available to them.
That's partly the reason why you moved so fast as well, because you came, you asked, you kept going. You came, you asked, you kept going. And that's the one thing that we always see when people are in the room, they stay in the room, they get engaged in the community, because you were on a harder pathway than, say, someone who's at a retreat, because you were doing it more self-guided. The writing was your responsibility to stay disciplined, stay on goal and all that, which is what we see, that 80% of purchase publishing packages never get used, which is a really sad statistic of how much money gets thrown to the publishing industry that people don't follow through because they don't have that self-accountability and discipline. So congratulations on being in that 20% who actually did it, and did it in a couple of months, entered editing, and within 6 months we have a book that's published, and you're having a book launch this Saturday. So always really impressed. But that, I recognize the patterns when I see someone who just does our online portal or publishing, who does the work, and you can see they're engaged in it, they're watching the videos, or they're coming to the calls, you know they're going to go through. But if someone just invests for the sake of, they think they're solving their problem but they're not really, you know, then they, you know, it goes to the wayside. Amazing. So where can people buy your book?
So people can buy my book through my website, so www.andjamesauthor.com.
I'm just pulling that up on the screen. So this is the beautiful, I'll just love that house photo of, from your cover. So what's that one? Is it a real house that you
that
run
is
in?
The cottage that we are living in right now. So if you just scroll back up to the cottage. So as the audience are looking at it, that at the front of the house, the window on the far right, in the veranda, that's the window you can see behind me.
Oh, very cool. I love it. And was this painted by somebody?
Yes, this was painted by an artist's name. I'm actually looking at the original. It's above me. His name is David Bleakley. He is a retired surgeon, and he bought the old schoolhouse up in Ross, which is just 15 minutes up the road. And we went to one of his, what's the word that you want to do when they display their paintings? I have issues. It's called mouth brain disconnect. So we went to one of his viewings and I spoke to him and he came and sketched it and did the watercolor and yeah, and then we had it framed. Yeah, so we commissioned. And then
you took like a high resolution photo of that painting and then put it onto the book.
That is correct. Yep. And then Nick did his magic, and particularly on the book cover with it had spread right across the front cover, which is fantastic. And it's called Rosebank Cottage.
I love it. How long have you been there?
So we moved here on the 30th of July, 2021. We downsized the house, so none of the children who were all adults had moved away could move back in. So we went from 4 to 2 bedroom, but we upstart size with the land. So we went from half an acre to an acre.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. I think it's such a nice thing to connect, like this being such a personal memoir and life story, to kind of where you're at in your season right now.
I had no issue with deciding on what I wanted for the cover. I just knew straight away. In fact, I knew from the very first words that I wrote, which were actually the afterword. I wrote the afterword before I wrote anything else. And as you know, I discovered I could write poetry, so I wrote poetry through the book. And the first poem in the book is the last poem I wrote. But that's just how it came together.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And, go ahead and, you know, get a copy of this book. I mean, just if you've always wanted to write, say, your life story, or you know someone who wants to do it, what a wonderful example, you know, to follow. I think Anne has taught through this lovingly and with so much care. I just love how, you know, you've really, I've felt you enjoying the journey, and I'm so super proud of you, and can't wait to see you write more, because you know, it's lead the way for those people who want to do those memoirs, but also, you know, the chronic illness, you know, and conditions that you can, you know, assist people with. I can't wait for stuff to really come out. So congratulations. So anneauthor.com is the website. Sorry, did you want to add something?
I was just going to say I'm planning on launching that in the new year, the program.
Nice. Yeah, beautiful. Well, actually, did you know that this year is apparently a year number 9 in terms of numerology? So it's about finishing things, and next year is about number 1, about starting new stuff. So this stuff that you're planning, it's, yeah. And a lot of things in my life, like we're finishing building and deck, all this, it's very interesting how the energy shifts year in, year out. So, guys, Anne's book's also available on all your good online reseller stores. But if you offer to get it from her, you'll get it signed. So Anne James Author, just normally spelled, no funky spelling here, .com is the website, and the book is Seasons of My Life, not the. I'll show it to you one more time, bigger on the screen. These beautiful scenes that Nick creates, I just absolutely love. So congratulations, Anne. Keep doing all the amazing work, and you know, I look forward to seeing you at more support calls and continuing to get to know you, and one day we'll celebrate together.
Fingers crossed. Next year or the year after, hopefully. Yes.
Love it. All right, guys, you guys have a wonderful week ahead, and go out there and smash out your goals. Bye, guys. Bye.